A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther, but they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it appeared, while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them, who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted to them what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, that wasn't the gospel that I was going to read, but I think it's a good one. It's amazing to me nobody marked the ribbon. You usually assume that the ribbon's going to be on the page that you're supposed to read. But I like this gospel better than the one I was going to talk about anyway. It's about mourning, isn't it? The people who were going to Emmaus, they were gone. They were leaving town because Jesus had died on the cross, and it was a terrible thing to witness. So in the middle of all this grief, what happens? Jesus comes and is with them. He walks with them along the way. He accompanies them in the middle of all of this. Today's All Souls Day, and I spent some time. I actually just had Mass out in the woods with the scouts down at Gunston Hall in that campground there. And the sun was coming up in the middle of during Mass. It was just a beautiful spot to celebrate Mass. Not that this is not, but it was nice to be in the woods this morning. And I was thinking about, I asked everybody there, like I asked all of you, to pause for a moment and think about those who have gone before us. So I decided I would even wear this vestment. I never wear this vestment very much, but my mom made this for my first Mass. And it makes me think of her today. I made the pattern and everything, but she sewed it because I don't know how to sew. But it's good for us to have things like that that we can look at. I was thinking about that this week, too. I met with a guy that is our church supplier. I'm going to give my chalice to my younger brother when he's ordained in May. And we're going to put a new plate on the bottom. And I'm looking at the plate where that I put on it when that chalice came to me. It was owned by a priest in Illinois somewhere. I think his name was Murphy. Wondering what we should put on the bottom. And so on the bottom of my chalice, it said all these years, "Grant eternal joy to your servants." And then I named my parents and my three brothers. And then it says, "Father Donald Rooney, priest." And then it gives it the date. Every time I use that chalice or any chalice, I think about those intentions. It's important for us to have these kind of markers in our lives, and I hope you have some too, where you can call to mind people who have gone before us and think about them now and again and say a prayer for them. That's the most important thing. And I know the whole topic of purgatory is kind of it's an uneasy one. You know, this is one of those things in ecumenical conversations, you don't go very far when you talk about purgatory, because it's something that Catholics still believe is a reality. And I can't really explain to you what that is, because we don't know if there's time. I think Thomas Aquinas said that there was something in between time and eternity. He called it ave eternity. which was a sort of different time system where you would go to purgatory in order to be cleansed and prepared to go to heaven if you're not ready at the time of your death. People always kind of make fun of that, I think, in some ways. And I'm not sure that Catholics even really think about that too much anymore, but that's what today is all about. If we have people that we love that are in purgatory, they cannot help themselves. They rely entirely on us, our prayers and our sacrifices that we make for their intention and on the saints in heaven. They are helpless. And so we have this obligation, this duty, actually, to pray for them, to do what we can to allow them to come into the loving embrace of God. And you might think that sounds kind of weird, but when I think about it, I say that just even shows how much more merciful God is, right? It's like another chance. If you're not ready to run into the arms of the Father, he's giving us another chance to make that happen. And we are able as a community to help one another to accomplish that. It's not something you have to do by yourself. So you'll see on the wall here, we've got the scrolls. These are all the people who've died within the last 12 months. We put this up every November 1st and 2nd, and it'll stay up for the month of November, and we're going to pray for these people all month long. I don't think I got the book out, but we'll have a book of the parish names of the dead, which you can write in people who've died during the last year, and so that you can have them included in our prayers too, and we'll pray for those at our masses this month. It is necessary. It is part of the system of the mystical body of Christ, right? The mystical body is the church in heaven, the church glorious, the church in purgatory, the church suffering, and the church here on earth, which is called the church militant, an odd and interesting choice of words, but that means that we are still fighting on behalf of those people who have gone before us. We rely on the saints, and those in purgatory rely on us and the saints. And this is the community that God has formed so that we can all help one another get to where we need to be with God in eternity. So to the reading today, in the middle of their grief, and this was a short version because I didn't think we would probably want to do the long version. In the middle of their grief, they've given up. So pause for a moment and think about the times in which you have had struggles with God. You hear this all the time. God took so-and-so. God took so-and-so from me. He didn't really. In the second reading, we hear about the purpose of baptism, right? St. Paul says that when we're baptized into the death of Christ. And so Christians have this kind of inside-out understanding of life that's not like the world thinks, that at the time of our baptism, we make that profession of faith, we go into the tomb with Jesus. His 3 days in the tomb represent our life on this earth. And the moment of life, the moment of birth, comes on the day that we die to this world. That's why if we celebrate the feast day of a saint or something, we don't celebrate their birthday. We celebrate the day they died, because that was their birthday, according to the understanding of the Christian church. So all of us who are baptized, we are all living this reality right now, and we shouldn't be surprised that sometimes things are difficult, and we experience all those things that might seem to be weakness or inability or even difficulty. We find ourselves living through this time with our eyes always on the place where we're headed, right? It's not here. The place where we're headed is to be with God forever in eternity. And so today we celebrate this opportunity that we have to come together as a church and to pray for all those who have gone before us, because our prayers matter. They're powerful, and we can help them.